All right, Christmas is upon us. And how wonderful was last weekend with the kids' Christmas celebration, the church lunch, fantastic carols by candlelight. It definitely kind of feels like Christmas is here, right? And that also means Christmas sermons, which is always an interesting thing as a pastor or someone who's teaching, because it gets around to this time of year and part of you goes, Christmas sermons, again. What am I going to say this year that feels fresh and unique? Because it is one of these things that just keeps on coming, and that is a good thing. Of course, it's a good thing. But today, I want to talk to you and share with you, I suppose, with a relatively different angle on a part of the Christmas story that I think is quite profound, but we almost get so familiar with that we don't really think about its implications for today. You know, there's this thing that they call the lullaby effect. It's when you get really, really familiar with the story, you start to stop kind of questioning it. You just kind of take it for granted. I mean, I know for me, even when we were singing God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen, I was like, the shepherds coming through the storm to the stable. I was like, is that in the Bible? Maybe. I don't remember it. But isn't it interesting how we like take these images and these stories and we become so familiar with them and we kind of go, yeah, but that happened back then. And that's good, but what meaning does that have for us today? And over the next two Sundays, myself and then Ian are actually going to share on essentially the same passage here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, but we're going to focus on different characters. And today, I want to talk about this idea of angels. You see, angels, when I say that word, no doubt an image or multiple images spring to mind. There's going to be different images that we carry, different images that we were taught. There'll be a combination, I know, even in this room, of incredible wonder and be like, I have experienced that, with the other side, which is, I'm a little skeptical. And both those things are going to exist in this room. So I want to engage with this passage today. And my hope is that maybe you might consider, wherever you're at, whatever image of the angelic you have, how it may be more present in your life than you realize. So let's have a look at our text today from Luke chapter 2. So starting at verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you have had the sense of the angelic? The angelic. And again, I recognize that as I unpack this message, what the angelic means to you may differ. For some people, it's going to be this kind of supernatural encounter. The glory of the Lord shone around. And there are people from this very congregation who have had that experience. For other people, again, you might be a bit more on the skeptical side and be like, yeah, that's all good, but I don't know about the whole angels with wings deal. Is that what the Bible is really talking about? Gavin, you're going to have to convince me. And that's okay, because I want to ask this question, is the angelic more present in your life than you realize? My guess would actually be that it is, just perhaps not in the way that you might think. So I want to talk a little bit about what an angel is. Like, what is an angel? Because angels are depicted in many, many ways. And if we were to read some of the varied descriptions that the Bible gives us and try to illustrate them, we would probably end up with some things that look like they're out of a horror movie. This is a combination of an angel's description from some of the prophetic writings in Ezekiel, and Isaiah. Now, if you had that at the top of your Christmas tree, right, it would probably freak people out. I do notice that when they depict the nativity, this thing does not seem to be in the sky, kind of like above, right? And it does help you make sense of the angels saying, do not be afraid, apparently whenever they show up. Now, this, of course, is not the only depiction, but it's worth recognizing that in the Bible, there are all sorts of depictions of the angelic. And so what I want to do is just to begin this message, I want us to look at what are some of the kind of core definitions of what an angel is. Despite all the different ways that they're illustrated and tried to be explained, like what are some of the core definitions that we see of the angelic in the Bible? So first of all, an angel is a delegate, a delegate. So there's two words. We have one there in the Hebrew, one in the Greek that are used in the Bible. It's actually pronounced angelos, but it looks like agelos. And that in the Greek means a messenger, an envoy, or a delegate who is sent. And so core to this idea of angel, again, we've got to somehow kind of separate ourselves a little bit from the imagery and the pictures that we maybe have come familiar with. An angel, when we see that word angel, it means there is a messenger, an envoy, someone to represent God, right, who is sent on their behalf. In the Hebrew, it's this word malak. And it means a dispatched messenger, an ambassador or a deputy. So when we're talking about an angel, we're talking about a delegate of God. Someone God has said, I need you to go and represent me with a message to these particular peoples or in this particular circumstances. And it's important to recognize that this angelos or malak can be either a human being, like an actual human, flesh and blood, human being, or it can be what we kind of call a celestial being. And this is often the image that we get of, you know, the angel with the wings. Yeah, this kind of celestial being that isn't like constrained by the kind of matter that we are. But actually in the Bible, both are referred to as angelos, malak. They are delegates, messengers from God. And this is really important to understand because as people have explored and come to terms with this idea of the angels, the intention was in no way to invent that some sort of intermediary between God and people, right? It's not like God needs to send angels in order to move people. Even in Jewish tradition, there was what they called the Shekinah glory of God. We would now kind of call it the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit was at work. It's like God can choose to speak and intervene directly in people's lives. He can and he does, and you will have experienced this. He can convict the heart of everyday people. But sometimes he chooses to use a delegate. Sometimes. Not because he needs to, but perhaps it's because we need it in some way. You know, I love some of the details that are contained within this biblical text. It says, when the angels had left them, that is the shepherds, and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about. Right? So they're very clear. The Lord has told us, right? This is definitely a message from God. And the response is obedience. We want to be actually receptive to the message because it's all well and good to receive a message, but if we don't actually act on that message, then there's something wrong. I will put up my hand. Have you ever felt convicted by God about doing something and you have chosen not to respond? You don't need to put your hand up, but I'm putting my hand up, right? Right? So there's this sense in which God can convict, right? But there is still sometimes when he is imploring us, especially to be responsive to that. And maybe that's why he chooses to use some sort of delegate in that moment. Also, we get this kind of description of the glory shining about. I know it's funny, often in our depictions, the glory is kind of shining around the angels. It actually says the glory was shining around the shepherds. That's the way it's described. The glory shone around them being the shepherds. And it's like the presence of these angelic delegates somehow had this weight or significance to it. This word glory that we hear in the text, glory, glory. In the Hebrew, it means weight or significance. If you imagine carrying a heavy pack on your shoulder or having like something around your neck, it's actually the illustration of a person wearing kind of jewelry that is heavy and it weighs on them, right? That's that word glory right, in the Hebrew. And it means there is this weight or significance to that experience. And we can see that the shepherds have experienced that. And there's something about this weight or significance that actually almost conditions us to remember what happened. Because there is this extra level of kind of power in that interaction. And so while God may choose to use a delegate, I think that God wants us to be receptive and to remember. And that's sometimes why he chooses to use a delegate. I need an experience that has this weight and significance so they cannot be dismissive of it. And I need something that speaks at my level so that I can respond to it. Now we could also go down the path and be like, well, why doesn't God just do this all the time? I think that there's something really important that God wants to cultivate in us regarding faith and an awareness of his voice. But in certain times, all throughout the Bible and throughout the experiences of people here in Alice Springs, which I'll share a little bit later, God chooses to use a delegate. So first of all, an angel is a delegate, but there's something else that an angel is. They are an unexpected delegate. This is what kind of makes them a little bit different. They're an unexpected delegate. It says here, and there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. They were doing their thing. They were just having their regular day, looking after the sheep. And then an angel, Angelos, a delegate of the Lord, appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I think this is great. Because I think that God loves taking us by surprise. There's something like, I know some people are like, I hate surprises, and other people are like, I love surprises. But there's something that a surprise does in us that forces us, or again, to remember and respond, right? If you've ever been scared unexpectedly, right, whether it be by a spider, right, that suddenly, you know, pops down off, you know, your sun visor, like that's scary, you know? You tend to respond and you tend to remember. Right? That's what happens. You're like, I'm just going to double check that visor next time, right? Because it's been burnt into my experience and memory, yeah? And whether you want to respond to it or not, usually you jump, even if you're not scared of spiders. Because there is something about this disruption and surprise that we need at times. There is so often we kind of go through life and rhythms aren't bad, but they build into this kind of our lives, this kind of level of predictability that if left unaddressed actually kind of blinds us or deafens us, right, to the new thing that God is doing. And so sometimes God just has to take us by surprise, and I think that's why he uses unexpected delegates at time to shake us from what we would expect. To shake us from our arrogance or shake us from our preconceptions about the way that God wants to work, who God is going to use, and what he has intended for me. And so an angel, again, is not just a delegate, it's also an unexpected delegate. And we see this disruption, right? This disruption in this story. They were just doing their business. It could have just been another regular night, but actually God wanted to do something and share something with them that they would remember and respond to. The final thing that we can see all throughout the scripture that an angel, regardless of the image and the form they take, is that they are an unexpected delegate with news, right? These are the core principles of the angelic. Again, my intention probably initially is just to kind of break some preconceptions around what an angelic encounter kind of is. This is what the Bible tells us it is. It's an unexpected delegate with a message or with news. And we see this here. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, all throughout the scriptures, when we have an unexpected delegate with news, sometimes that news is good. Sometimes that news is bad. Not going to pretend it isn't. But either way, it's news. It's news that the people are called to respond to in some way. And this is great news. I mean, the birth of Jesus changes everything. But again, regardless of whether that message is good news, the question is, are we open to that message? Are the shepherds going to be open to that message? Are they going to have that experience and just be like, well, that was interesting, and go back to tending their flock? Or are they going to respond and remember, and later we learn in the story, share this encounter with those around them? See, this is where the rub hits for us as we consider what the angelic looks like in our life. Are we going to be the people who are actually open to the message and can respond to the message, the unexpected delegates with news that God places in our lives? After all, if we need examples through the Bible, there are plenty of people who weren't. There was a message available to them, and they chose not to respond, even as Jesus himself ministered. So that's the challenge for us. You know, the more I chat, especially with some of my Indigenous brothers and sisters, the more I'm amazed by the way that God chooses to use the angelic, right, the delegate, to unexpectedly bring important news. Even just over these last few months, had the privilege of sitting with some people and them sharing their stories. And they got amazing stories of like being in hospital and having like through a dream or a vision or an encounter of some kind, you know, God speaking very, very clearly to them through an intermediary. It's like, choose this truth rather than that path. Choose to trust in my protection rather than in your fear. Like really clear messages of good news where they step back and said, God spoke to me through some sort of angelic interaction, and it was unexpected. I did not expect to meet God there. Had another story only a month ago of somebody who had this God angelic experience as they were traveling on RFDS down to Adelaide after a car accident, and they actually had this angel who had actually like placed their hand on their chest and felt like this lightness, that glory, that word glory, weight and significance, right? They felt that glory be over them. And it absolutely transformed their experience of what was fear into grand peace. And the message with that was just simply the message God saying through this intermediary, I am with you. And this, like, this doesn't just transform their experience. This is the message that goes through family, all the way through their recovery. It's like God speaking through these angelic moments with this weight and significance, with a message in the most unexpected ways, in the most unexpected places. So what does that mean for us then? For each of us? Because if an angel, just like in this story, is an unexpected delegate with news, we need to be prepared. And we need to be aware. Because this is the simple message I want to share with you today, is that God still uses unexpected messengers. He still uses unexpected messengers. And sometimes what we do is we put how God speaks into a certain kind of box and we say, if it's not inside that box, then it can't be God. And I'm not saying don't use discernment, of course, right? But sometimes we're the one who puts this box in and say, well, yeah, God doesn't work that way anymore. God can't speak through that person because they're too unexpected, right? And yet, it may just be that God wants to shake us up so that we remember and we respond, similar to the way that these angelic beings shook up and caused remembrance in the shepherds all the way back then. Who might be the angel in our midst? I'm just going to get you to jump down on the screen there to Hebrews chapter 13. It will be just at the end of my slides. I just want to go there. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 2, I love this phrase because it's almost like it gets dropped in there and you kind of like, you've got to decide whether you're going to take that seriously or not. This is one of those ones that is so easy, particularly for Western Christians, to just kind of be like, that's nice, and move on. All right? But I love this. It's like, this is toward the end of the book of Hebrews. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Oh, we're all for that. Love that. Very Christian. Yep, keen. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Yes, we can do that. Takes a little bit more effort, but keen. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And you're like, cool. All right, no worries. Like, you got to decide what to do in that moment. You're like, oh man, but the angel thing, it just doesn't really work for me. You know, I'm not really keen for like the wing thing. rocking up for dinner, like there's not much space, like the chairs are really close, so with the angel wings, like there might not be, you know, like we do this stuff in our mind, and yet God wants to use the unexpected messengers, whether they be celestial, right, like these shepherds appeared to have, or whether they be just an unexpected delegate with news who is human, which is also reflected in the Bible. Just as I kind of wrap up a little bit, not quite, but wrap up a little bit, there's this fantastic debate that occurs among the rabbis when it comes to the story of Joseph. You didn't expect to see me going there, did you? That's great. All right, can we just jump back up to the slide with the text here? Thank you. So there was this great debate, and the debate was around these two particular passages, Genesis 37 and Genesis 45. If you don't know the story of Joseph, it's quite a long story, lots of chapters. But as the rabbis would read these stories, they would look for details that seemed unexpected. Like, why are those details there? What are we supposed to do with that? And these, particularly these two passages, were a cause of great debate. You see, it says, the context is that Joseph has been given a mission, essentially, by God. He doesn't quite know how that's going to play out. His brothers, who are older than him, are upset. And then Israel, his father, also known as Jacob, goes and sends Joseph to find them. Okay? And it says this, when Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I am looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But when they saw him in the distance and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Now, this is the setup. This is the setup that is ultimately going to result in his brothers selling Joseph into slavery, that is going to lead him into, well, a various number of stories, being a faithful servant, then in prison, and then through various dreams, being the second most important person in the Egyptian nation, second only to Pharaoh, protecting them from a massive famine that was coming their way. That's a very short version of this, right? But this was the starting point. This is where it happened. He was going somewhere, he met a man who sent him somewhere else, and then the brothers decided that they were going to kill him, which ultimately resulted in him going into slavery. Let's jump down to Genesis 45 in the next slide. Oh, sorry, I've got the clicker. That's my fault. Later, Joseph reveals himself to his brothers after all this has happened. And he says to them, "Now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Now, go with me on this, okay? Because this was the debate. Apparently, that Joseph had a different perspective as to how God had been at work through that earlier encounter in Genesis 37 to what his brothers did. That's the revelation here. And the rabbis noted that twice God had said, "Hey," or twice Joseph had mentioned that God sent him ahead, and there was two references to this man, this unnamed man, back in Genesis 37. And so they said, God was clearly a part of this process. The text said it was a man, but Joseph seems to say it was God. So what do we do with this unnamed man? It seems bizarre that this unnamed man even had to exist within the story. Like, what's he doing there? It seems like an unnecessary detail. This is the kind of great debates that the rabbis had. I so wish we had these debates like this. Just like, what's that doing there? I try in here, right? But they're like, there must be something about this man that connects it with the fact that God was directing Joseph purposefully. And this will be curious. I'm really curious to see which rabbi you identify with here, okay? Because there was three rabbis. Rabbi Rashi, he said, this was 100% God. So that man, that unnamed man, was the angel Gabriel. So he went all in. He went all in, right? He says, like, 100% this unnamed man who ultimately directed Joseph to his brothers, which resulted in all this, angel Gabriel, yep, no problems there. Now, next came Ibn Ezra. Now, he says, no, Rabbi Rashi, you've definitely swung the pendulum a little too far. Naya, you're reading into this. This was just a passerby, right? Joseph was wandering around the fields. He was just a passerby. Don't speak meaning into it. He's just a dude, right? And he's unnamed for a reason, okay? Now, interesting, right? So I right now, you're like, which one do you identify with more? Eh? Yeah, interesting, right? Okay, then good old Ramban came in. Now, Ramban is, his actual name is Moses van Nachman, but he came in and like a great rabbi, he says, no. You're swinging the pendulum like this. Surely there's got to be something in the middle here. Because we can't deny that this man was used, and Joseph says he was used by God. So what is the deal with this guy? And Ramban said, no, it's not the angel Gabriel. It's not just some unknown passerby. Ramban said, this was an unwitting guide. I love this. An unwitting guide. See, Ramban says the man here was an ordinary man. He was a passerby. He was a passerby. But he was unwittingly fulfilling God's design. Isn't that great? He was a passerby, but he was also, in some profound way, a delegate. He was an unwitting guide. He was sent by God to guide Joseph, though perhaps he himself was not even aware of the significance it would have. Now, there's something to wrestle with, okay, as we think about the angelic in our midst. He would go on to say that every malak, that is every angel, right, human or celestial, right, was a messenger. And they're all God's delegates to activate or implement his will on earth. And so you might have come into this message feeling a little bit skeptical about the angelic, and I understand that. That's okay. And there's going to be other people who have literally had an experience, and you're like, don't you question the way that God uses angels. But I think about some of these unwitting guides, even in my life from this past year, and a couple of years before, and I'm like, I am so confident that that was an angelic moment. I think about this guy recently. I was helping someone through a difficult context for them. And we'd prepared a big plan to navigate them through this particular space that was going to cause a lot of stress. It was a comprehensive plan, but we knew that getting through this particular place was going to be difficult. It was going to be risky, and I was there to kind of support them through this process. And we didn't anticipate that there would be any help. We just thought we've just got to kind of go for it. And so we're working through this place, and this guy, Stuart, that's his actual name. His name's Stuart. As we're working through this particular place that was a place of great angst, he was like an angel, an unwitting guide for us. In his work in security, I'm just preserving details for the sake of the person, right? But in his work in security, we had never met this steward before. We had no idea who he was. We had not prepared in advance that he was going to help, but he saw us and he guided us through an area that would have otherwise caused immense stress, crazy levels of stress. He facilitated a space with all the other people around to ensure that we got through there with absolute safety and certainty. It was unbelievable, right? And I'm just like, whoa, like this was unexpected. It definitely felt godly. And the message was, you're going to be okay, right? Now we got through the other side of that, waiting for the next kind of stage, and I realized that I had forgotten a step, a very critical step in this process, right? That was going to cause great trouble. Now, I had lots of steps, so I'm allowed to forget one, but this was a big one. And I'm sitting there trying to work out, what am I going to do about this, when who comes across of his own volition but Stuart? Stuart comes from his post to our position, and he says, hey, I wonder if I can help by doing the very thing that I had forgotten to do without prompting, right? He's like, I can do that for you. I can talk to those people. And he says, I have had experience in this situation before. You may not be aware of it with different other people, but I just want you to know that I'm here for you. And I'm just like, this is crazy, right? This is a guy who literally was angelic in that moment, giving us exactly what we needed in that moment, providing the peace that was required. And I don't know if he was a follower of Jesus. He didn't say so. But either way, I know that he was unexpected. He was a delegate and he had good news for us. And I'm going to remember that And even sharing this now is like a response to that. To remind it, these people are at work. And whether you feel comfortable calling them angels or not, that's up to you. But let's be prepared that God is going to use unexpected people in and through our story. I remember a couple of years ago, another guy, Tom, I do have his photo, I don't have it up on the screen. And I and the boys, we were driving back down from Litchfield. This was during the time of COVID, and we discovered that our alternator had died in our car. We were towing our caravan, and we were just trying to get south to Catherine to get a part. As we were traveling down south to get this part, we got a call, we got notified that they were going into lockdown. So we couldn't go to Catherine where our part was because that was in lockdown. We couldn't go back up to Litchfield because we had no alternator. We were stuck in the middle. And as the car progressively died on the way, which is what cars do, we found ourselves on the side of the road about 100 k's north of Pine Creek. Not a good place to be when you got lockdowns below you and you got no one up above you. We had reception in this guy from Pine Creek. His name was Tom, an amazing guy. We got on to him and he came and he came with his tow truck. He was able to take our car. He was able to take the caravan. He took us down to Pine Creek. There was nowhere in the inn to stay, right? There was no places available that had any cooling because of the lockdown, right? And so we're stuck there going, what are we going to do? He's like, I will repair your car. And the people who were supposed to be staying here in this like mini accommodation area, right? They're gone because they got stuck up in Darwin. You can stay here. And so we're just seeing this providence after providence after providence. I'm like, man, this guy is an angel, right? Whether he recognizes it or not, whether he is an unwitting guide or not, this guy was the unexpected messenger, the unexpected delegate that God presented to us in that moment. And I believe if we are open to it, that across this Christmas season and across your lives, there are going to be unexpected people who speak news to you that God wants you to remember and respond to. So this Christmas, by all means, be on the lookout for celestial beings. If God feels like he needs to use the glory and the hand and the wings and the weird eye thing in order to get your attention, then may he get your attention. But also, be on the lookout for a different kind of angel, the unwitting guide, who unexpectedly wants to bring you good news too. That's what I got to share. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you, God, that you speak. And while you do convict our hearts, God, sometimes you choose to use other people. Maybe so that we will remember and respond because you know that's what we need. And so, God, particularly as we approach Christmas and we're reminded of these incredible stories, would we not just leave them as part of history, but would we be open to the words of truth that may come from, yes, the delegates, but also from those unexpected guides that you are working through, sometimes even when they don't know it. Because, God, we know that you want to do a work in us. You want to remind us of your love and your presence. You want us to be people who share the stories of your providence. And so, God, may we have open eyes this Christmas. Amen.